This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington, and here are some of the stories NPR News is working on this afternoon. Florida Governor Jeb Bush has ordered doctors to resume tube-feeding a brain-damaged woman who is at the center of a bitter right-to-die battle between her parents and her husband. And in a candid memo to top Pentagon aides, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld gives mixed reviews to the U.S. campaign against terrorism. Rumsfeld also raised the possibility of creating a new team or agency specifically to fight terrorism. Details on those stories coming up later today on All Things Considered from NPR News. Kirk Jones is only the second person and the only grown-up to go over Niagara Falls without protection and survive. There are conflicting reports today about his motivation, whether he plunged into the river above the falls because he was depressed or whether he did it just on a whim. In either case, he experienced a sensation that most of us try to avoid, the feeling of falling a great distance. It's a sensation that stirs intense emotion, says author Garrett Soden. He's written about this phenomenon and why some people embrace the exuberance of falling and others do everything they can possibly do to avoid it in his book, Falling, How Our Greatest Fear Became Our Greatest Thrill. Garrett Soden joins us from the studios of member station KPCC in Pasadena, California, and welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thanks, Neil. It's great to be here.
So why does the sensation of falling stir up such intense emotions?
Well, it's speculation on my part, but the one thing that you have to look at is that we've inherited a primate's body. Now, we think about human evolution starting from the time that we were bipedal and we were walking on 2 feet, but really, that is only about 6 million years of our evolution.
A mere flicker.
We spent 65 million years, or rather our ancestors did, in the trees, and virtually everything about our body is shaped for that purpose. That's why we have grasping hands. That's why we have twisting wrists, mobile shoulders. And it's affected our brain in the same way, in that there has to be a certain motivation to want to swing and leap through the trees that God built in as something enjoyable, just the way a cat enjoys chasing things. Human beings enjoy acrobatics and in particular enjoy controlled falling.
Controlled falling.
Right.
That's the key. There's also that moment of panic that comes from that moment, even sometimes when you know it's controlled.
Well, it depends. People have a great different reactions to the sensation of falling. The research that's been done on it has been done by Professor Marvin Zuckerman in his studies on sensation seeking, which actually comprises four scales: thrill and adventure seeking, experience seeking, disinhibition, and boredom susceptibility. But what he's found is that there's a real difference between people who are high sensation seekers and low sensation seekers. Low sensation seekers, their neurology is constructed such that they when they are surprised by a fall or a loud sound, some sort of overwhelming sensation, they immediately go to a startle or a defense reflex and they bypass what's called an orienting reflex. High sensation seekers may have an orienting reflex which is up to 1 or 2 seconds, which during that time sensations are intensified and clarified, so they not only enjoy it, they actually can function better. They don't go immediately to the flight or fight sensation.
Our phone number again, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, and Patrick joins us on the line from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Hi.
Good. I called in immediately when I heard the number because I'm a regular skydiver, and Cleveland, of course, doesn't allow for that in the winter. But the reason that I started doing it is because it just fascinated me, simply because I'm kind of afraid of heights. Mm-hmm. But I've continued doing it because it is the only thing I can do that combines a really pure adrenaline rush with relaxation. It's the people who do it that I spend a lot of time with are very high-wired people, but on the other hand, in the airplane on the way up before we jump out, everybody's kind of not exactly meditating, but very relaxed and kind of kidding around, but in a serious, making sure all our equipment is checked way. And then you're in the air for free fall, usually from just over 13,000 feet for just over a minute, and it's a pure adrenaline rush. I mean, you're doing all kinds of things in the air, but mainly it's just the sensation of falling that gives you the rush. But then once under canopy, it's quiet, you're flying, it's relaxing, and that continues until you get to the landing portion where it's kind of a a little bit of a rush again, making sure you don't wipe out.
Have you tried base jumping, or do you have any plans to try base jumping?
I have not tried it yet, but it's something I've gotten more and more interested in.
And base jumping is jumping basically off a cliff or a building or something like that?
Yeah, I think it's a building, a span, antenna, or the Earth. I think that's what
right.
B stands for. And that is something that I'd like to try only after having done skydiving for a while because, as I mentioned, I've rock climbed before, and anywhere between 30 feet and 100 feet, I virtually freeze on the side of the rock. It's just not something I'm comfortable with. But the perspective is kind of blown at 13,000 feet, and under canopy for some reason, it's just more relaxing. So base jumping is something in between that, yeah, I'd like to try it.
Well, Patrick, thanks very much, and good luck.
Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Garrett Soden, is there a difference between jumping, like skydiving, and stepping off a base, a cliff or a bridge or something like that, or bungee jumping, stepping off, doing it in a controlled way, and falling? I mean, tripping and just doing it by surprise.
Certainly, there's a huge difference because when you're surprised, it's not controlled falling. That's really where you're reacting suddenly to a threat. What I'm more interested in and is the controlled falling aspect. People taking a jump or taking a leap over a great distance on purpose. One of the interesting distinctions, people tend to think that skydiving or jumping out of an airplane is the ultimate in the sensation of falling. While you do get the sensation of falling, I haven't done it, but I've talked to skydivers, and I've also experienced bungee jumping. The difference is, as the caller mentioned, when you're at 13,000 feet, it doesn't look like the ground below you. And in addition to that, when you step out of a plane, you're first hit by the wind of the plane traveling forward, and then you're hit by the wind coming from below you. Base jumping or bungee jumping is entirely different because you see the ground below you at a recognizable distance, so it's much more threatening.
Let's get another caller. Jeff is with us from Mora, Minnesota.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. What I was wondering, the first thing, when I heard your topic, the first thing that popped into my head and I've always wondered about is occasionally, I think this happens to everybody, when you're falling asleep and suddenly you're startled awake because you have that feeling of falling. I don't know if you've dealt with any of that or if that has to do with part of, why we seek that out or what. I mean, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. I can only
speculate. I think we all do.
That.
I think we all do, Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah. I would go back to the idea that so much of our time in evolution was spent during the trees. One of the things that you have to remember is even after human beings became bipedal around the time of Lucy, which I think is about a million years ago, even though our ancestors were walking upright, the only place they really had to protect themselves was in the trees. And there's a lot of evidence, anatomical evidence, of Lucy, the way her limbs were formed, that indicated that she regularly climbed trees, or her species regularly climbed trees. So imagine that sleeping in a tree, of course you had to develop a mechanism where you would suddenly feel even the slightest indication that you might be falling would jolt you awake as a safety precaution.
Oh, sure.
Well,
that makes a lot of sense.
Okay. Jeff, thanks very much.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go to Brian, and Brian's with us from Beloit, Wisconsin.
Hi. I have a little different experience in falling where it wasn't for thrill, but it was accidental falling. And I work in a situation where I work on scaffolding, and I had a small fall once, and I know other people who have fallen in that situation, and virtually everyone I've talked to has had that sensation of trying to correct themselves that your guest commented on earlier.
Yeah.
It seemed like everyone had very, time slowed down where they knew they were falling and they were making those corrections that, it was strange because you could really sense that you were trying to correct that situation much more so than just panicking.
Yeah, and this is interesting. I think when people first hear these stories about time slowing down or things becoming clearer or more crisp, a rock climber described it to me. He took a pretty serious fall on a rope, and he described the sensation as he sensed everything in a more crisp manner. it sounds like it's just sort of the imagination of the person, but actually there is evidence, as I talked about. They've tested skin response and cortical activity, these sorts of things, and really established that there is a physical difference, especially among high sensation seekers, that they go into this orienting reflex before they go into the panicking reflex. And what that does, it's nature's way of intensifying the information that's coming in. It's purifying the information. So it seems like things are slowing down, and it seems like things are crisper. I know that when I did a bungee jump off a 170-foot tower, and I was petrified. I was really panic-stricken, but it seemed to just take forever. It just seemed like I was up there endlessly.
And I had a little question, too. People who are more likely to be the orientation types, are they more likely to be the bungee jumpers and the skydivers, or is there any kind of correlation there?
Yes. Generally, high sensation seekers tend to have high sensation seeking in a number of different areas. They tend to, and there are other personality traits that have been correlated with this, which is sort of interesting, because when we think of extreme athletes, for example, that do all these crazy things and they have tattoos and pierced body parts and that sort of thing, and in direct contrast, we think of the people that condemn these extreme athletes as being conservative, church-going, like to listen to calmer music rather than the high sensation seeker who would like to listen to heavy metal. These stereotypes are broadly true. It's really interesting. You find high sensation seekers are more likely to smoke, they're more likely to take drugs, they're more likely to be sexually promiscuous, they respect authority less, they're less religious. All these things tend to go together, even down to the sensation of enjoying hot food, which was...
spicy food you're talking about.
Spicy food, right.
We're talking with Garrett Soden, the author of Falling, How Our Greatest Fear Became Our Greatest Thrill. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We just have a few seconds left, but I wanted to ask you about the language of falling. It's developed into a pretty negative metaphor in a lot of ways.
It's been a negative metaphor. That stretches back farther than we can actually trace it, but the word falling is associated with the word failing, and of course we have so many metaphors. Falling from grace is the one that comes to mind.
Sure.
Right off the bat. One of the things that's interesting is cognitive linguistics, who takes the point of view, which I tend to agree with, that language understanding is based on metaphor. We understand, for example, that we talk about a bank having branches and roots, where we're using a plant metaphor. There are metaphors that are so common we don't even question them. One of them is the idea that the future is ahead of us and the past is behind us. That's a spatial metaphor that doesn't really exist in three dimensions.
Garrett Soden, thanks very much for being with us.
Okay.
He's the author of Falling, How Our Greatest Fear Became Our Greatest Thrill, and he was with us from the studios of member station KPCC in Pasadena, California.